So this morning we're continuing our reading from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're completing the reading of the chapter, The Killing of the Agasura Demon. So Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends were out in the forest herding the calves, and they encountered a large python who'd opened his mouth very big, and the cowherd boys had entered inside, not fearing anything, knowing that Krishna would protect them. So Krishna entered within the mouth of the python to rescue his cowherd boyfriends. So we're taking up at that point. Of course, these pythons really are dangerous, even the ordinary ones. A few weeks ago, in the news, there was a case in Canada where, you know, in a building, there was a pet shop that had some snakes, including a big python. And apparently it escaped one night and went up into the next floor. And there were two boys sleeping in a room, and it killed both of them. So these pythons really do kill boys, cowherd boys, ordinary boys. It's actually a big problem in Florida because people would buy pythons as snakes and then they let them out and they've gone into the Everglades and multiplied. So there are these huge pythons there. You have to be careful. So from Krishna book, continuing, when the demon was trying to smash Krishna and his companions, Krishna heard the demigod saying, "Alas, alas," and he immediately began to expand himself within the throat of the demon. Although he had a gigantic body, the demon choked by the expanding of Krishna. His big eyes moved violently, and he quickly suffocated. His life air could not come out from any source, and ultimately it burst out of a hole in the upper part of his skull. Thus his life air passed off. After the demon was dead, Krishna, with his transcendental glance alone, brought all the boys and calves back to consciousness and came with them out of the mouth of the demon. While Krishna was in the mouth of Agasura, the demon's spirit soul came out like a dazzling light, illuminating all directions, and waited in the sky. As soon as Krishna came out of the mouth of the demon with his calves and friends, that glittering effulgent light immediately merged into the body of Krishna within the vision of the demigods. So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives some additional explanation. This book, Krishna book, was made by Srila Prabhupada early during his time in America because he was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam gradually, second canto, third canto, and he was concerned that possibly he might not be with us long enough to complete the 10th canto, which is, of course, the ultimate goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're meant to make progress going through all the different cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam until we get to the 10th canto, which deals directly with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada made this summary study of the 10th canto and published it as Krishna book, you know, with the help of George Harrison originally, who contributed to the original printing. But then eventually, you know, Srila Prabhupada did get to the first, in 1977, during his last days in Vrindavan, he got to the first chapters of the 10th canto. And the chapter about the Agasura demon was one of the last ones that he personally translated, as he did with all his other Bhagavatam verses, you know, with the Sanskrit and the synonyms and a purport. So in his purport to this part of the Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada comments on this fact that this glowing effulgence came out of the body of Agasura and hovered in the sky. So this shows that the soul is individual and personal. It's not just something that merges immediately into oneness. It has its own unique individual selfhood. As Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The soul is sanatana, it's eternal. It's part of God, but it's not one with God in the sense that the impersonalists think of it. So, Srila Prabhupada commented in his purports to this part of the story that the fact that this effulgence came out of the body of Agasura and remained hovering in the sky until Krishna came out of the mouth of the dead serpent showed that the soul is individual, doesn't merge. And he further explains, here it says the soul merged into the body of Krishna. So he explained that that was not the end of it. Of course, in other parts of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, citing the Acharyas, explains what it actually means to say something like that, merging. It's like a green parrot flies into a tree. It may appear to become invisible, but actually, you know, it remains there separately. So when Srila Prabhupada explained that this merging that's being talked about here is not the merging that the impersonalist talks about, means that the soul of this Agasura remained in the in connection with Krishna, and then achieved sarupya liberation. You know, Srila Prabhupada explains that in his comments on this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there's different types of liberation. One of them is called Sayujya, which means this impersonal liberation. But the devotees of the Lord don't aspire for that. Of course, Agasura was a demon, but because, Srila Prabhupada explains, because Krishna had entered his body and he had meditated on Krishna very intensely. You know, he was like many of the other demons. They meditated upon Krishna very intensely. So that actually gave them some benefit. And Krishna actually entered his body and touched him. So as a result of these things, Agasura achieved Sarupya liberation, which means the liberation of having the same kind of form as Krishna. In this case, in Vaikuntha. So this demon actually achieved liberation. Srila Prabhupada explains that. Continuing with the Krishna book, the demigods became overwhelmed with joy and showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they worshipped him. The denizens of heaven danced in jubilation, and the denizens in Gandharva Loka offered various kinds of prayer. Drummers beat drums in jubilation. The Brahmins recited Vedic hymns. And all the devotees of the Lord chanted the words, Jai, Jai, all glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in Bhakti Ratnakara, which is a book about the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who were followers of Lord Chaitanya, immediate followers of Lord Chaitanya. There's descriptions how they would go on parikrama through Vrindavan. And there's one place there called Jait today. And it said that that is the place where all the devotees and the demigods shouted, Jai, Jai. And the demigods showered flowers on Krishna after he had killed this Agasura demon. So, and in the modern pilgrimage books also, it mentions this place. Has anybody been to that place, Jait? There's a place near there called Sapali, which is derived from the term Sarpa Stali, the place where the serpent was killed. Has anybody been to this place in Vrindavan, the place where Agasura was killed? Nobody. No. At least I don't remember it. I went in 1979 once and went to a lot of places, but I don't remember them all. But it is still there and it's mentioned in the guidebooks. So, and Srila Prabhupada and his Bhagavatam translations mentions a point about, you know, the Gandharvas were dancing and others were drumming and the Brahmins were reciting verses. So everybody has some talent or ability. And the perfection of it is to use it in Krishna's service for the glorification of Lord Krishna. So all of us have our different talents and abilities. And we have the opportunity, Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to use our mind, body, and words in the service of Lord Krishna. So, continuing, when Lord Brahma heard these auspicious vibrations which sounded throughout the higher planetary systems, he immediately came down to see what had happened. He saw that the demon was killed, and he was struck with wonder at the uncommon, glorious pastimes of the personality of Godhead. The gigantic mouth of the demon remained in an open position for many days and gradually dried up. It remained a spot of pleasure pastimes for all the cowherd boys. The killing of Agasura took place when Krishna and his boyfriends were under 5 years old. Children under 5 years old are called Kamara. From 5 years up to the 10th year, they are called Pauganda. And from the 10th year up to the 15th year, they are called Kishora. After the 15th year, the boys are called youths. For 1 year, there was no discussion of the incident of the Agasura demon in the village of Vraj. But when the boys attained their 6th year, they informed their parents of the incident with great wonder. For Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is far greater than the demigods, than such demigods as Lord Brahma, it is not at all difficult to award the opportunity of merging with his eternal body. This he awarded to Agasura. Agasura was certainly the most sinful living entity, and it is not possible for the sinful to merge into the existence of the absolute truth. But in this particular case, because Krishna entered into Agasura's body, the demon became fully cleansed of all sinful reactions. Persons constantly thinking of the eternal form of the Lord in the shape of the deity or in the shape of a mental form are awarded the transcendental benediction of entering into the kingdom of God and associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can just imagine the elevated position of someone like Agasura, into whose body the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, personally entered. Great sages, meditators, and devotees constantly keep the form of the Lord within their hearts, or they see the deity form of the Lord in the temple. In that way, they become liberated from all material contaminations. And at the end of the body, enter into the kingdom of God. This perfection is possible simply by keeping the form of the Lord within the mind. But in the case of Agasura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally entered, Agasura's position was therefore greater than the ordinary devotees or the greatest sages, greatest yogis, excuse me. Maharaj Parikshit, who was engaged in hearing the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, who saved the life of Maharaj Parikshit while he was in the womb of his mother, became more and more interested to hear about him. And thus he questioned the sage Shukadeva Goswami, who was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam before the king. King Parikshit was a bit astonished to understand that the killing of the Agasura demon was not discussed for 1 year until the boys attained the Pauganda age. Maharaj Parikshit was very inquisitive to learn about this, for he was sure that such an incident was due to the working of Krishna's different energies. Generally, the Kshatriyas, or administrative class, are always busy with their political affairs, and they have very little chance to hear about the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. But while Parikshit Maharaj was hearing these transcendental pastimes, he considered himself to be very fortunate, because not only was he hearing Krishna's pastimes, but he was doing so from Shukadeva Goswami, the greatest authority on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus being requested by Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami continued to speak about the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna and the matter of his form, quality, fame, and paraphernalia. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 12th chapter of Krishna, the killing of the Agasura demon. So in his 10th canto translations of these same verses, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions something. He cites the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who explains one of the purposes of this Agasura incident. And in general, other such incidents where a demon comes and interrupts the pastimes of Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends. Yes, they're herding cows and calves in the forest. So, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport to these verses, Krishna and his friends would just become totally absorbed in playing different games and herding the cows in the forest. And they would get so absorbed, they would forget it would be time for lunch. So generally around lunchtime, in this case, you know, the demon Agasura came and interrupted their play and pastimes. And yeah, that was the signal for lunch. So in the morning they were all playing, all absorbed, and then the demon came, and then it was time for lunch. But in this particular case, when the cowherd boys and Krishna sat down for lunch, something happened which will explain why the pastimes of killing Agasura, which took place just before lunch, weren't made known immediately to the inhabitants of Vrindavan for a full year. And yeah, perhaps that's going to be the next reading. Is it Omkar Prabhu? What's going to be read tomorrow? Just discussing that. But in any case, Brahma, who we just read about here, was a little astonished to see this incident. You know, Krishna playing with his cowherd boyfriends, this killing of the Agasura demon. He didn't really understand what was going on. Sometimes this happens, called Brahma Vimohan Leela, the Brahma becoming bewildered by Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. So to kind of test Krishna, he steals his, during this lunch period, he steals some of his cowherd boyfriends and hides them away in a cave for a year. And then Krishna immediately replaces them with, by personally expanding into a new set of cowherd boys and calves. And then for a year, he kind of plays like that. So, you know, the cowherd boys who had actually undergone the pastime of entering the mouth of Agasura and being rescued by Krishna, they were hidden away by Brahma for about a year. And then eventually, by Krishna's grace and Brahma coming into his senses, they were released after a year. So that's why the pastimes weren't made known to the adult residents of the village of Vrindavan for a year. So maybe that'll be read tomorrow, maybe something else. And in these final paragraphs of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada mentions the importance of meditating upon Krishna. And there are many ways that we can meditate upon Krishna. Principally, you know, we meditate upon Krishna by meditating on his holy name and japa meditation. Yeah, that's one of our key practices. When we take initiation, that's what we vow. You know, we vow to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra each day because Krishna is non-different from his name. And by focusing the mind on Krishna's name, that's equivalent to focusing the mind directly upon Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions, the deity is also there. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada made that part of our practice of Krishna consciousness. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Madmana Bhava Madbhakto, always keep your mind focused on me, become my devotee. He also says in Bhagavad Gita, Ma Manusmara Yudhya Cha, remember me and fight. In other words, perform your duties in devotional service, but always be remembering Krishna. So, if we do that, we become qualified to enter into Krishna's pastimes. Somewhere, this pastime of Krishna rescuing the cowherd boys from Agasura is going on right at this moment. Krishna's pastimes are called Nitya Leela. Oh, Archita Prabhu is pointing out we have a nice painting in the temple room of this pastime. So, but it's going on somewhere because there are millions of universes, and Srila Prabhupada has explained that when Krishna's pastimes are finished in one universe, they go to another universe and then another one and another one. So this therefore Krishna's pastimes are called Nitya Leela, because they're always going on eternally. So somewhere, it's not just an historical event, somewhere it's going on right at the present moment. And, you know, these are very engaging pastimes. They're very attractive. So there's so many ways in which we can meditate upon Krishna. And if we do that, we become qualified to enter into Krishna's eternal pastimes. And, you know, that's to give us something to talk about and to meditate upon is one reason why Krishna comes to this world and displays these pastimes as he did 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. And in a few days we'll be commemorating Krishna's appearance in this world, Krishna Janmashtami. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very interesting class. My question is this. You were referring to Srila Prabhupada's 10th canto purport about Agasura and how he merged into the body of Krishna, but ultimately he got Sarupya Mukti.
Which is what Srila Prabhupada says,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, personal form of liberation. So I'm just wondering, and he was the younger brother, I think we heard yesterday, of Putana, who also got a personal form of liberation. I think she got Vatsalya. Or
she got a higher form.
Yes,
yeah.
Sarupya Mukti, but a higher rasa. So my question is, how is that supposed to work? Because, you know, there's that verse by Rupa Goswami, how the only qualification for going back to Godhead is that incredible, you know, intense eagerness. And, you know, these are souls that are diametrically opposed to the service of the Lord. And, you know, here they're being awarded this type of, you know, personal liberation. And there was one conversation I heard where Prabhupada was walking with some devotees, and a devotee quoted that verse from the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that when one goes back to my abode, he never returns again here to the material world. And they asked Prabhupada, but so does that mean you don't come back? And Prabhupada said, no, you can always come back because the soul has free will. So it seems like the desire of the soul is a very important thing in going back to Godhead and staying in Godhead. And here are these souls who are anything but desiring to go back to Godhead. And you know, it's like if you have a hardened criminal and they let him out, you know, just to, it's a nice display of mercy. But, I mean, is that criminal going to be able to make it in free society? He's a hardened criminal. So here's, I think you get the gist of what I'm saying.
So Rupa Goswami also makes a distinction between sadhana siddhi devotees and kripa siddha devotees. So sadhana means by practice, you know, one achieves purification. And in that case, that desire and everything else that you mentioned would be required. But kripa siddhi means by mercy. In other words, you don't ordinarily deserve it as you would normally have to do through achieving the perfection by sadhana siddhi methods. That's perhaps one way of looking at it, that this would be a case of Krishna giving some special mercy to this Agasura demon.
Wouldn't that be interfering with their independence? Because, you know, it's kind of one thing if you're a very weak devotee or something, and you get kripa siddhi. You become elevated to the spiritual world by the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of Krishna. But you wanted it, even though, you know, your desire is not mature, it's not to the standard. But you have some desire for that. But in the case of these demons, they don't want it. You know, they could just, you know, how do you know?
That's why it's mercy. Okay, somebody, at least that's how I would tend to look at it, but somebody was going to comment on this specific point. Archita.
I saw Brigapati Prabhu burst through the door, so I knew he was going to ask this question, and I was ready for it.
Oh. I know he was asking for the mic right during the class. Something was coming up.
So Prabhupada answered the question, as usual, the answer is right there. Prabhupada said, by entering into the body of the demon, Krishna purified him. We should always remember that the soul is by nature pure, because we are of the same qualitative nature as Krishna. So the soul is by nature pure. And this anger, lust, greed, envy, and all that is just a transformation by coming in contact with the modes of nature. So when you become purified by whatever method, by sadhana, or by directly being touched by Krishna, as in the case of Putana and now her brother Agasura, you again become completely pure. And that all your desires are also pure. It's not that you go back to God, but you still have the material desires and the lust and the anger and the greed. No. Once you're pure, you're pure. So your desires are also pure. Their desire had been transformed. The natural desire to serve, which we all have, had been transformed into desire to serve Kamsa. But when they came in contact with Krishna, that natural desire to serve also became again desire to serve Krishna. That's what pure means. Pure means everything is pure. Your desires are pure. Your intentions are pure. Everything is pure. So they became completely pure again by coming in contact with Krishna. Putana by Krishna sucking on her breast, and now her brother Agasura by Krishna entering into his body, he became completely pure. So he didn't have any more material contamination.
Amala Bhakta, you had your hand up. Were you going to comment directly on this point?
It was just saying when we're in the pure state, it is natural for us to be. You said there should be an eagerness. This is the point of Rupa Goswami. We should be eager to want to serve the Lord. So, as a part of being pure, a pure soul simply is eager to want to serve Krishna. That is our natural position. Jivera Swarupa Hari Krishna. It is our constitutional position to want to, but when we are impacted with all the barnacles of lust, anger, greed, and envy, well, then that's lost. But eagerness comes naturally. It is really a part of our nature, just as love comes naturally, and so many other qualities quite naturally, when we are unburdened of these lower qualities. And as Archita just so nicely said, that purity is not merely a word, it is an experience, it is a level of understanding and a level of consciousness.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Krishna Jamashtami ki jai.